This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Hey guys, we have a special edition of I'm Right tonight. Megyn Kelly's doing this wonderful tour, and she was lucky enough to have me as a guest on her tour, and we're going to play that little interview, well, long interview with Megyn Kelly in its entirety here on I'm Right.
Jesse Kelly, everybody.
You finally had complete power.
I got Dad's Corvette, I got Dad's keys, and there's nothing stopping me now.
And so, you sent the FBI after school board moms. You told Facebook to delete people's accounts for questioning the COVID vaccine. You sicked the FBI on pro-life pastors.
For these people, America is the enemy. They are at war with our own country. Are they afraid? Is this why the violence is happening? Is this why there's a clear uptick in violence? Do they feel like they're losing?
Shoot, we'll try to kill him, throw him in prison. We'll throw 1,000 January Sixers in prison. We're living high on the hog, baby. We're always going to have power.
But you screwed up.
They tell people, Hitler's coming, Hitler's coming. And you have all these single women on anti-anxiety meds freaking out. Oh my gosh, the world's gonna end. These people get lied to repeatedly, and all they do, maybe it's a Democrat thing, is bend over and say, thank you, sir, may I have another.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Thought I'd kick it off with family. It feels like family.
Well, we've been talking for how many years now? It does feel like family. This is just a normal routine for us.
And with the last name Kelly, I mean, it's got to go back to some common person, doesn't it? I just learned this week that Irish women are known not only for being boozers, but for being sluts.
Well, I'm not sure what that says about my mom, but look, I think we kind of went different ways, Megyn. You went to law school, and I went to Pima Community College, so at some point when we got off the boat, we definitely diverged.
All right, I have my notes here because there was something I wanted to remember to ask you, okay? Please tell us who Big Chungus is.
Okay. All right, so I'm sure you saw the video. Everybody here has probably seen the video of the stupid No Kings protests, and everyone saw that gigantic monster of a woman making fun of Charlie Kirk's assassination, doing the this and that and this and that thing, just, you know, sticking her fingers in her fat rolls and being terrible about the whole thing. And so I went off on it on my radio show one day, and I don't even know where I heard it, probably from my two meathead sons who were actually in the audience, the name Chungus, and it just seemed like it fit. I said, that's Big Chungus. And I knew, you know what's sad, Megyn, is I knew as soon as I saw her, I said, that's a teacher, that's a nurse, or a social worker, because it is every single time in one of these blue areas. I knew it. It's a fact.
Yeah, you knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little bad making fun of most people's physical being, but not in her case, not at all. What a horrible person. I mean, that was a horrifying video. You guys saw it, right? She was enjoying it, and the Chicago School District has done nothing. They're worried about the alleged threats she received for that bad behavior.
I think it's really hard for normal, decent people to understand that there are people, obviously there are legions of wonderful teachers, but there are a lot of people who go into their chosen profession because they intend to carry a sick religion into that profession and put it into our children. There are a lot of school teachers in this country, especially in blue districts. They didn't take it so they can read your son or your daughter, you know, English, math, arithmetic. These things don't ever cross their mind. They did it so they could tell your son to chop his penis off. They did it so they could teach you that your country sucks and there is no God. And they believe it all the way. And when they're not doing that, they waddle out to a protest and make fun of Charlie Kirk's assassination. Mm-hmm. It's freaking terrible.
Well, that's because Jesse always calls the left communists. They're communists. Explain that.
Well, they are communists, and we've been too hesitant to do that for so long. We try to act as if they're naive. Or they just don't get it. We try to make every excuse in the world for them. Well, I guess they just don't understand. No, they do understand. We're the ones who have lacked understanding. They understand full well that they are at war from within with this country. They are fighting a communist revolution. It's not an accident they're doing it. It's not an accident they're going after kids. They decided long ago they couldn't use the workers because American workers were, by and large, happy and prosperous. So they had to find a different group of malcontents. And now it's every feminist in a Subaru, and it's all this LGBTQ stuff. And they go find all the miserable freaks in society, and they recruit them as an internal army to constantly attack us from within. And they are communists. And I fully admit there are so many Democrats today who don't have any idea that's actually what they are, because they're a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. But in the end, I mean, you go listen to any one of their speeches, you notice they're never, ever, ever actually selling a solution. They don't even really pretend. They're always selling revenge. Always. Elect me and I'll get them. Elect me and I'll get that guy. Elect me and I'll take what's his, because they're filthy communists, but they're losing, so screw them.
There is something about the fact that they're also unattractive. I know I'm being a very looksist person tonight, but there's something to it. Why are they all so homely?
You know, a much wiser man than me once said that bitterness is poison. Right, your bitterness is poison. And so it's actually not a physical thing, the reason so many of them appear to be unattractive, because there are plenty of people, big, small, short, tall, who are wonderful and attractive people to be around, because there's a certain joy inside of them. I mean, how many people have you already met here tonight? Nobody looks the same. There's a joy that comes out of people who are good. But people who are angry, because that's really what they are, broken. Their souls are broken. They're angry. They're bitter. That radiates from them, and they spread it everywhere, and it feels ugly.
So even
ones that are kind of hot, like AOC, you get around her, and you think, oh, that's gross. I would rather not.
Oh. Have you seen now online, she put on a couple of pounds, and now the online commenters are referring to her as abuelita. You can't do it any better than the internet. I'm sorry. What are your thoughts, though? Because I know you've been very outspoken since Charlie died on the need to be here, the need to be speaking out, what the right needs to do.
Well, this is, again, a mentality that is changing, so I don't want to act like we're failing. 10 years ago, we were failing. It is changing, and I want to echo what Megan said when she was out here. I do commend you for this. Maybe you don't feel courageous, but it takes guts now, especially with all these violent animals on the other side. It takes guts.
Totally.
So for the longest time, because we didn't fully understand what we were dealing with on the left, we thought, you know, we could be hands off, laissez-faire, they'll wake up. You know, that old conservative way of thinking of, well, they'll come around when they start paying taxes, or they'll wake up one day. But the truth is, when you're dealing with a demonic force like communism, you have to be aggressive with it. And so the second the communist tells you what he hates or what he fears, you don't shy away from it. You feed it to him. So the second they tell you they don't want you talking to kids on college campuses, they don't want you doing public events, we'll kill you, we'll do this, we'll do that. No, you double down on them. You do this on everything. You double down on them. When they're tearing down statues, and I don't care whose statue it is. I don't care if it's Christopher Columbus or Robert E. Lee or whoever it is. The second they tear one down, you build 10 more right there. And you don't ever let these people destroy the way they want to destroy. They have always, since the Bolshevik Revolution to where we are in the United States of America today, they have thrived on the naivete and the niceness of their political opposition, and the fact their political opposition never quite understood. Well, they don't mean to do that, right? That this is an accident. They don't get it. No, they do get it. We haven't gotten it. We're starting to get it now, and that's why they're so afraid. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, totally agree.
And we have more for you next.
Gut health is one of those things that I never really cared about when I was younger. I mean, when you're younger, you can basically drink motor oil and you'll be fine. Actually, don't do that. That would be bad for your health. But it's one of the, as you get older, you have to think about it more, especially when you love things like jalapeno poppers like I do. I was told about colostrum.
about all the health benefits of colostrum, including it'll make your belly feel better. I put it in my coffee now every single morning. I put cowboy colostrum in my coffee every single morning. I feel so good. I don't want to tell my wife. It basically has given me a license to eat whatever I want. But that's what my gut is telling me. That's what my gut is telling me. Go get yourself some. They got strawberry and chocolate and vanilla. I use the chocolate in my coffee, but you do you. CowboyColostrum.com. Use the promo code JesseTV.
Let's talk about the media, because what I said is true. The media is dead. The mainstream media is over, and it's a blessing. And it's because of new media that we are able to tell the truth on things like what's happening at the White House now with the renovations and the number of renovations that have already been done to the White House over all the years. Like, none of the mainstream will tell you that. They wouldn't talk about Barack Obama's $380 million reno he did to the White House, way more than what Trump is doing. They wouldn't tell you what Truman did, completely revamping or Taft, the entire White House. They wouldn't talk about the pool that FDR put in. That's just one example. But, like, we're able to counter-program now in a way that has them panicked.
Well, they have had forever. I mean, when you think about it, you don't even have to go to ancient history. If it's 1990, right? How many channels are on your television in 1990? We had one of the big wooden cased ones, and it was the little 13 clicker. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's what you had. That's not ancient history. That's 1990. So if you owned NBC, ABC, CBS, the New York Times, the Washington Post, LA Times, and they did back then, if you owned it, the truth was whatever you wanted, and normal people had no option to go seek out the truth because there's no internet, there's no smartphone, there's no Megyn Kelly show, there's no alternate source. Even if I'm trying to be informed, all I have is the newspaper and the news at night. And if they're all telling me the same lies, which we now know they do, they tell the same lies over and over and over again. Have you gotten your 12th booster shot yet? But anyway, they all tell the same lies. And so our ancestors in this country, I say ancestors, honestly, our parents, they did not have the same opportunity we did to break out of that bubble the way we've broken out. And now that we've broken out, now that people see the light and they see the evil, the media is being completely stripped of all their power. And it's the greatest thing that could happen in this
Yes, country. It's so wonderful. You can see, I think it's part of the leftist panic, though. Like, my own calculation is one of the reasons we're seeing more violence on the left is they're extremely angry that their universal control over all the institutions, media among them, is really quickly slipping away, and they can feel it. And this is a brand new front. Like, they've never had to deal with this before.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's part of the reason I took so much joy in the No Kings protests, actually, if I can get to this in kind of a roundabout way.
Even though
way.
We all know that you are king of all media.
So, I mean, think about where we were. It feels like 15 minutes ago, but it just last year, 2 years ago, I don't know about you, I felt completely culturally surrounded. It was like it happened all of a sudden. We woke up one day and, wait, they're taking Aunt Jemima off the pancakes, and there are more lesbians in the kids' movies than the WNBA game. Like, I don't know. We woke up and said, how did that happen, right? And so we felt completely surrounded. Our institutions all felt against us. But like all evil, tyrannical, sick religions, like communism is, it's a religion. It's not a political ideology. They couldn't control themselves with power. So they got it. And everywhere they had it, they would abuse it and abuse you and abuse you and abuse you and abuse you. And just like that, it's disappearing on them right now. And so now all you have is some lame protest with a bunch of grannies doing these stupid pre-rehearsed dance routines and Big Chungus out there making fun of Charlie Kirk. And now you're just screwed.
Big Chungus, I love it. I can't get enough of it. So how do we sustain what Trump has taught us, right? Trump showed the Republicans how to fight. That will be his lasting legacy. Trump, unfortunately, only gets another 3 years and change. And then he's going to have to pass the baton. And there are real questions, even though we love the bench, about whether what he's taught us can be sustained post-Trump.
Well, this is actually something I talked about on my radio show yesterday, this exact subject of because Trump has been the leading figure on the right for 10 years, and as of the year 2025, he's the seminal figure on the planet for the 21st century. That's not even debatable. No one else is close. When you think about when you think about Trump being gone in 3 years, it can be a little, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But I just want to make sure everyone understands Trump is not the end. Trump was the beginning. Trump was the beginning and deserves a lot of credit for that. And that is in no way an insult. It's all the credit in the world. You know, the one who lays the foundation of the family business is always going to be revered, and he deserves to be, you know, honored for that forever. But there, if he's the end, then we're finished anyway. But he won't be. There will be another, and then there will be another, and then there will be another. And when I say another, I'm really talking about everybody. I don't want to sound like one of these dirty hippies, but it really does take all of us. It's your school board. It's your local community. It's about so much more than the White House. It's honestly your HOA. You have dirt balls in your local community, even here in Red Texas. I have them in mine, and we need to get these people out of office.
Yes. Okay. So that's the problem, is that while we've been asleep and they've been passing laws to make it easy for teachers to trans children without involving the parents and so on, we've been asleep. Now we're waking up, but we're still slow to vote on Team Sanity. And we don't vote in local elections. We don't vote at the school board level. Too often we're like, oh, we're busy, we're living our lives. Like, we're fulfilled people. That's our problem. If we were like more empty inside, we'd probably go out and make sure that we canvassed and voted and make sure that everybody else, but like, even though we're happy and fulfilled, we're gonna need to start to vote now in every single election, up and down the board. So how do we get Republicans to do that? Because in general, it's more the left who's been like, activated, and they'll make sure that they have their bus with Jane Fonda on it, getting all the people to every vote there is.
Well, this is the problem.
Proposition 15, she said.
This is the problem because it's going to create an extra burden on, honestly, the people in this room, because your friends are, they share your values, you go to church with them, you meet them at T-ball games, but they don't even know there's a local election coming. They don't know, they're living their lives. You have to be that point person in your circle. I try to encourage people with this all the time. Five people. Tell five of your friends. You're going to be hanging out on Sunday. You're going to be watching a baseball, football game. Hey, did you hear? We have an election on Wednesday. Hey, I'll come get you guys. It's important. We need to vote for this guy. Your friends are good people who don't know. You know. They don't know. You listen to Megyn Kelly. You know. They don't know anything. And that's not an insult to them. It's not their interest. They are busy doing other things. But they will do what you tell them to do. I run into this with my neighbors. I don't hang out with political people. I live here in Texas. I live in the burbs. I'm not in D.C. And all my friends are this way. They share my values. They agree with me. But when there's an election coming, they have no friggin' idea. So I have to say, hey, we're going to the polls on Tuesday. We got to go out. We have to be that activist class, because as a whole, we will never be as committed to tearing down the country as they are, or to preserving the country as they are to tearing it down. But we don't have to be, because the numbers are actually on our side if we can just get out there. But it's uniquely hard for people in red states to do that, because when we look out the window, it's right here in Sugarland, when you look out the window, the animals aren't burning things down. And you think, you know, women aren't getting thrown in front of subway cars here and things like that. And so you think to yourself, okay, well, it's not that bad. I can skip vote. It's just a Saturday anyway. I'm not feeling that great. No. The communist is coming for places like this, and they're already here.
Oh, and Texas has been in danger of turning bluer and bluer, thanks to places like Austin and Dallas. So, yeah, you got to get out. And let me just say something. The fact that you are all here suggests that you are more politically attuned than the average citizen and more into news than the average citizen, which means you probably will have to lead the way on getting people to vote. Because your neighbors are living their lives, and they're definitely not thinking about local elections. So you have to, you be the change. You have to be.
Stay tuned. We have more coming up next. You know what I think about sometimes? I think about the communist conquest of corporate America and how damaging it's been for this country. I remember after George Floyd died and all the animals were burning things down and throwing bricks and killing people, and it was just awful. And it wasn't just that. Corporations in the country sponsored it. Corporate sponsorship of communist street violence. It's part of what prompted me to switch to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. I don't want to fund Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile anymore because I don't feel like funding Black Lives Matter. You know what Pure Talk does when they give back? You know what they're doing right now? Finding rescue dogs, rescuing them, and pairing them with veterans struggling with PTSD. You're going to be on the same cell phone towers. Keep your cell phone, keep your number, support a company, a veteran-led company you can be proud of.
puretalk.com/JesseTV. Switch today.
Here's another thing I want to ask you about. There's a debate happening right now on the right about how much time do we give these leftists and the media and even some Republicans who are demanding that we comment on every scandal, like the Young Republicans text chain, right? You know what I'm talking about? These Young Republicans who got caught in a text chain in which there were some racist comments, there were some unfortunate comments, and the left ran with this on every media outlet. Like, they'd love to make this the news story because it bumped the Jay Jones, Virginia Attorney General candidate story off the front page. It was like, see, we told you all along, Republicans are all racists, aha. And then good people on the right kind of felt the need to say, like, tisk, tisk, I condemn it, because, like, if I'm going to condemn the Jay Jones stuff, I got to condemn this. How do you see it?
Yeah, so let's say I'm FDR and it's World War II, and Douglas MacArthur comes to me and he says, hey, I just got word that some Marines are committing some atrocities in the Philippines. They're torturing people. I need you to look into that, or I want to report this to you. Now that's an action item for me because Douglas MacArthur's on my side. If I'm FDR in World War II and Tojo walks into my office and tells me Marines are doing something in the Philippines, that's not an action item for me. I know he's my mortal enemy. I know the only reason he's bringing me that information is because he wants me to act on the information he just gave me in a way that will be harmful to me. And so we have to be smart enough on the right not to jump on every landmine the left throws out there, because as you just pointed out, anybody with an IQ above a gerbil knows exactly why a disgusting rag like Politico would print it. They printed it because they wanted us to stop talking about that sick freak in Virginia who's talking about killing kids. They wanted us to talk about anything else. They wanted us to change the news cycle. And we can't just be people who chase a headline, chase the spotlight, chase the newest, freshest story. We have to think beyond that and realize we are dealing with an enemy, and that sucks that you have to deal with an enemy. I wish you didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to. I don't want to have enemies here. That's not who I am. I don't want to. I want to eat Red Lobster. That's what I want to do. I want to enjoy, and I want to eat Red Lobster. But that's not the life we've been given. We have enemies here. We have to acknowledge their enemies and act as if they're enemies. I do not now. I never have. I never will. I do not take part in communist operations. I don't care what they are. It doesn't matter whether it involves my friends, my enemy. When there is a communist operation, I recognize it for what it is, and I just ignore it and move on.
So wise. And here's a tip. I think people on the right are decent, and they want to express their decency, and so they feel like an obligation. I'm a decent person. I'm against these texts. I would never text like this, so I feel like it doesn't matter how many times you prove your decency to these people. They will always dismiss you as indecent. They will attack you as racist, as misogynist, as bigoted. They'll use every term in the book. They don't really think Donald Trump is Hitler. Not at all. They don't think J.D. Vance is Hitler. They're using those terms to silence their enemies. It's a leftist tactic. And no matter how good you are, you could be Jesus Christ incarnate. They will call you all the names and never acknowledge your decency. So why bother?
Yeah, there's a clip that's going around now, but it's actually a little bit old, of Catherine Mayer, head of NPR, don't get me started, talking about, I think our reverence for the truth is, you know, we focus on that too much. We just need to focus on getting things done and building a consensus. But what I tell people all the time, over and over and over again, is communists lie about everything all the time. The way you feel about telling the truth, that's how communists think about lying. And I know that's hard for good people to understand, but they might tell the truth occasionally if they feel forced to, like when your wife comes out and says, does this dress make me look fat? And you've got to kind of weasel one in there if maybe it's not the most flattering thing in the world. But that's how the communist feels about telling the truth. It's not just that they lie or they're okay with lying. They demand lies. They will demand it of each other. They strictly police each other. Remember when Joe Biden accidentally called an illegal during the State of the Union? He had to do a press tour the next day apologizing for it. They strictly police each other to make sure the lie is consistent, building the world of make-believe, which radicalizes these people who are broken out there, turning them violent, and soon you have big chungus.
Don't play that game. Jesse, thank you. Love you so much. Thank you so much for doing this. Isn't he so great? Can I tell you, like, the show is doing really well. The Megyn Kelly show is doing really well. It's because of guys like that. Honestly, we have just the best guests. And while I'd love to say it's all me, it's not all me. It's because I get like guys like that to talk to me. And they're so interesting, right? Isn't your life just better for knowing Jesse Kelly? It just is. You hear all of your own views espoused in a way that is like super smart and entertaining and fun and funny. And you go home thinking, I am not alone. That's one of the many things I love about him. Anyway, thank you, Jesse. Love you too so much.
We're not done yet. We have even more. Next.
Now, with the current White House, I have some connections. With the Joe Biden White House, I had none. But you did. You did. And so while... You've been in Washington 30 years, Jake. You guys, you and CNN have White House connections. But there was no effort, none, to get to the bottom of this. And now
that's
for you guys to write this book, like, there was a cover-up. It's like you... There was a cover-up, and there was an attempted cover-up. It could only ever work if you allowed it, if the press allowed it. Some of us tried not to, and some of us were complicit. Time and time again, when issues came up, you seemed to be running cover for the president.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the Laura Trump issue that you referred. Here it is.
I think what we see on stage with Joe Biden, Jake, is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline.
Do you want to apologize to Laura Trump now?
I've already apologized to her. I called her months ago.
I'm so uncomfortable right now. I have used poor judgment many times in my life, both professionally and personally, certainly with women in my younger years. I don't think I've ever done something as dumb as going on Megyn Kelly's show after I spent 4 years lying through my teeth. Joining me now, Megyn Kelly, host of the Megyn Kelly Show. Megyn, I'm not even an uncomfortable person, very comfortable. And watching that a second time, actually, that's like the 10th time I've watched that. I'm squirming in my chair over here. Why would they go on your show? I love your show, but I'd never go on it if I lied.
You know, it's not a good idea. I always laugh because not necessarily that interview, but some people will come on and try to spin me. And I always think to myself, a simple Google search would have served you really well before you agreed to do this. But okay. I mean, Tapper knew, to his credit, he knew I was going to give him a hard time because we're friendly. You know, we've never hung out socially, but we've been in the same industry for a long, long time. And he knew very well that I was going to give him a hard time, and he wanted to stand for it, which he did. And that would be the end of the hard time that he would get on his media tour, because every other media personality, I think other than Stephen A. Smith, has completely gone along with the ruse that it was just unknowable, this mental decline, unless you had a more honest White House, and that this book blows the lid off of the scandal that they managed to keep under wraps somehow for 4 years.
Yeah, the gall on these people really is amazing. To write a book and act like you're breaking a story that anybody with an internet connection and an iPhone could have seen 4 years ago is obvious to everybody. So, Megyn, what, in your opinion, what is the game here? Everyone can see. Is it selling books? Is this rehabbing the Democrat Party? Is this going to be in some way a way to focus attacks on Trump? Well, now we need to know about Donald Trump's medical records. What is it? Because there's something at play that's not journalism. I know that.
Well, I mean, I think Alex Thompson came to it honestly because he tried to write this book solo of Axios. And he, by the way, he didn't do a great job covering the mental acuity, but he did do a great job when Kamala was the candidate of trying to hold her to account for her multiple flip-flops in 2019. Axios and Alex Thompson were like the one outlet other than in our world, you know, in the digital lane, that was trying to get to that. So I give him more credibility. But he tried to write this book and they wouldn't publish it. They pulled his deal, saying like, no, there's no market for this. So then after Biden lost, he connected with Tapper, who was a bigger name and has an instant platform because he's on CNN. So this is how publishers look at it. And they say, oh, okay, you can sell that book because you've got now a name associated with it. And for Tapper, it was a chance to whitewash everything he had done and to pretend that he had been honest about this all along, and that like now he was going to cleanse the sin that he'd helped commit by doing some honest reporting on how bad it was. And that would not only absolve him as a reporter, but would serve as the vehicle for all the rest of the so-called mainstream press to launder their own complicity in the scandal by being shocked, absolutely shocked, that there was gambling in this casino. I mean, just couldn't believe about this Biden mental decline. And the book is the perfect cover for this because it does have new details that even surprised me as somebody who did cover it. And I know you were all over it. But of course, there would be new details that we weren't able to access because we're not friends with Mike Donilon or the people who are super tight with Joe Biden. You need Democrats to get you those stories. So that's why the book does have some purpose to it.
Megan, I can't decide which part of this scandal is worse, the media cover-up or the actual actions that were taking place inside of the White House. The media should have exposed this before Joe Biden was even the Democrat nominee. They should have exposed it, should have stopped that. That's, frankly, in my opinion, that's the media's job. But that brings us to the Joe Biden White House. Who was signing executive orders? Who was signing pardons? Who was conducting foreign policy? Megan, we just celebrated, we just honored Memorial Day, where 13 people died at Abbey Gate because of decisions that came from the White House. Who made those decisions?
The book doesn't say anything about who specifically made those decisions, but it does give you the inner circle. It's of like four, maybe five people around Joe Biden and also Jill Biden's chief of staff, who were very involved in everything and ran the roost over there. That guy, Mike Donilon, who I mentioned, chief among them, who'd been with Biden for 30 years, who to the end was saying he was totally competent, there was no scandal there. And yes, you're looking at her right now, Jill Biden and Hunter Biden too, according to this book, very much involved in the cover-up and decision-making around the president, including around policy issues. And that's why we need a bipartisan, ideally, commission to actually look into the answers to that. But I don't care if it has to be one-sided partisan. We actually do need an entity with subpoena power that actually will act on the investigation, because one got started and then died, into who issued these pardons. Is Hunter Biden really pardoned if he pardoned himself? And some of these other rulings, like Trump's been saying, Biden was never this far-left progressive that he, too, like many of us, had questions about. Why is he governing like AOC? It's not what he ran on. It's not what the people elected. But his chief of staff was pretty left. And there's a real question about whether, you know, this guy Ron Klain and Jeff Zients, who came after him, were making these decisions. And if so, we're entitled to know. But wait, I want to say one other thing about the journalists and why they felt the need to do this. They're genuinely angry at Biden for losing. Like, now that the gamble of trying to lie to all of us that he was fine didn't pay off, they're pissed. And now they want to punish him because he didn't get that ball across the end zone into the end zone. And they're angry. So now they're happy to stab him in the back and say he's the source of all our problems, because they're very angry Trump won. And on that same front, now that Trump's president, they want to act like they deeply care about mental acuity. And they, of course, now we've learned from the sins of the Biden era. So it's very, very important to be very deep on a president's fitness for office. Coincidentally, that president now happens to be Donald Trump. And you're already seeing this pair switch the messaging on their media tour to Trump's even less transparent. He's even less transparent than Joe Biden. And their Democrat allies are out there on places like Fox. We saw this with Seth Moulton, who went on Martha McCallum's show, trying to run that same playbook. Like, Trump's the one who almost got 25th Amendmented after he didn't accept the election results in 2020. He's only one of these two men has had their cabinet talk about 25th Amendmenting them. And it was Trump. Nobody ever talked about that during Joe Biden, as though those two things are comparable at all. And now really Trump is the one with a mental acuity scandal that's being covered up.
Megan, where does the Democrat Party go from here? And I say this as someone who's actually nervous about it. And I'm nervous because they seem so lost, so bottomed out right now. Trump's numbers are still good, very, very solid. Democrat numbers are in the tank. Jasmine Crockett and her type have become the face of the party. They seem lost and hopeless and like they'll never win another election. But you, of course, know, as I do, that's not how it works. Parties come back. They find a way. Where do they go? What is the way forward?
I mean, they need to make like a surgeon and complete a massive excision of the woke leftist piece of their party. Unfortunately for them, the woke leftist piece of their party has eaten the main bulk center of their party. You know, to the point where none of us can really see what's left. There are like shards of glass that are the remaining centrists, but everything else is in just tatters over there. Like, who? Like, name name the person who could be the standard bearer, you know, like Rahm Emanuel. They're surfacing him as somebody's raising his hand to like step in. And now he was more of a centrist guy. He was an Obama guy. He was a Clinton guy. But he's as like establishment as they come. These young progressive like Bernie Democrats, the AOC Democrats, they don't want Rahm Emanuel. They're not going to vote for him. Right. So it's like there's a certain centrist Democrat who might go for him, but I just don't see them getting anywhere on the key issues that hurt them. They can't get out of their own way on the trans issue, which cost them the election. There was a massive survey by a Democratic survey group right after the election that showed the number one issue in those seven swing states was boys and girls sports. And they still haven't reversed themselves on it, Jesse. Still, that one guy, Seth Moulton, who I just happened to mention, I have nothing against this guy in particular, but he tried to reverse himself. He's a Massachusetts rep. He tried to say, okay, now I don't want my girls to play against boys. He got browbeaten so badly, he immediately stood down on it. So it's like, they're not going to be able to do it. They need the surgeon, but it's unclear what can be excised because the cancer has metastasized to the entire party.
Oh, jeez, they're in trouble. Megan, you are the best. As always, keep doing what you do. I appreciate you very much.
And we have more for you next.
Street violence. I know you've been hot on this, and I'm glad you have been. It's very clear that they're not going to change this rhetoric, fascist, Nazi, because they want bad things to happen. How am I supposed to interpret it in any other way, Megan?
You're not. You know, it's the old, when people show you who they are, believe them. The first time would have been ideal. But no, they clearly don't want it to stop. You know, the latest polls show 34% of college students think it's okay to use violence against somebody who has the wrong ideas or says the wrong things. And this is an outgrowth of that. Those people grow up and then they go out on the streets and they join Antifa and then they're saying like F ICE pigs and actually assaulting them or firebombing them. So President Trump has no choice but to deploy the National Guard to protect our ICE agents who are doing the noble thing, trying to clean up Joe Biden's mess. Not a thing is happening on the streets right now that doesn't directly start with him. He created the mess. President Trump is trying to fix it. He's trying to keep people safe. He started with the worst first. So the ones he's going after in these communities tend to be people who are not only here illegally, but who have committed additional crimes, whether it's three-time drunk driving or felons, violent crimes. Why would we want to be protecting them? Why would Portland, Oregon want those people to stay in their community? So he's got to just put the gas pedal down and now we have to get serious about going after the groups that encourage this, whether it's Antifa or it's Trans-Tifa or whoever is online encouraging and fomenting the violence, because we're not going to be the left and claim that speech is violence, but actual participation and planning in crimes that actually then take place is a crime. And you can go after people for that. So we need to.
Megan, you're much better on legal stuff, well, and a lot of things than I am. So RICO, taking apart gigantic criminal organizations, is very difficult and it's very complicated. That much I very much do know as a mafia fan who's studied all these things. Do we have the people it takes to take apart these organizations, not just arresting some Antifa purple-haired freak on the streets, but the funders, the organizations, because these organizations have been set up to have all these legal firewalls? Does Pam Bondi and the Justice Department, do we have the horses to make this run?
I don't know the answer to that. I hope the answer is yes. I mean, if you're talking about somebody like a George Soros, he's going to be so well insulated that it's going to be very hard to get him. But there may be smaller players that you could start with. And to be honest, you might only need to go after a couple to make an example out of them before some of the lesser players disband or even the George Soros or Alex Soros's of the world back off of some of this so-called organizing that they want you to believe that's all it is that they do. Like the Trantifa group is a good example. Like these online trans activists who have been communicating, we believe, about things possibly even including the Charlie Kirk murder. That's one of the things that I know they're looking into. And listen, I don't know exactly what they're going to find, but I did hear from a well-placed source that they believe that that's actually going to pan out, that there was some sort of organization before this and there was some coordination. Now, that's only one source. I don't have it double sourced. But my point is simply, if they can start with a group like that, that was online coordinating and celebrating and potentially even helping and plan an event like that, and then you are completely merciless with them, I mean, that could really send the right message. It's tough, though. As we saw with the Trump lawfare, you know, rightfully so, it's tough to bring RICO cases against anyone other than the classic people for whom that law was designed, which are mobsters. But there are things like conspiracy. You know, if you've got conspiracy to commit arson, to commit murder, conspiracy to trespass, it might not be like the most severe crime in the world. But if you have conspiracy, you have two actors conspiring about a crime, and then one takes an affirmative act, you got conspiracy, criminal conspiracy, and you could start with those crimes. It doesn't all have to be the mega level RICO in order to start making these people pay a penalty for what they do.
Can the Democrat Party change? It seems like, and I've been talking about this a lot, that they have, you know, Dr. Frankenstein created his monster, all these rabid animals now. And now, even if they wanted to, even if they know they should moderate on this or stop with the crazy on that, it seems like they're kind of trapped and can't change. I don't ever want to say anything is beyond saving, but doesn't it feel like they're trapped?
Yes. They need to break up. The Democratic Party, in the same way we just saw that announcement on X last week that the LGB is breaking up with the TQ, like they've had it, so this new group is formed that's just LGB. They're like, why do we have to be stuck with those people? That's not our thing. The same thing needs to happen within the Democrat Party. You need like old school liberals who are not woke and just want like abortion to break up with the lunatics who think it's okay to kill people for bad speech. And it's okay to cut off healthy body parts on children. And it's okay to divide everybody by race and tell little black kids that they're less than and that they're never going to overcome it. And little white kids that they've got original sin and they'll never overcome that. These people are loons who send all the men into the women's prisons and let them have at the women. No, what you're locked up. Just suck it up. Deal with it. Like they must have a breakup. Otherwise, they're never going to win. Like, how can the normie Dems, and there are some normie Dems out there, like Bill Maher, he's not woke. He's a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He needs to find his tribe and convince them to start something new. And there's probably enough disaffected Republicans, like never Trump Republicans, who they could bond with. But we're going to have to move to a different kind of system than the two party, because if I were Dem, that's what I'd be saying, because they'll never win again. They cannot get this coalition together. Their woke left flank is going full communist, as you know, with Zoran Mamdani and some others running across country now. They've drifted so far, they're not coming back. So I don't know what they do other than acknowledge that reality and get better organized to deal with it.
Thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed it. Do not forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's free at Jesse Kelly DC on YouTube.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.